guys, welcome to Revolution's Hispanic Heritage Event, brought to you by Wafi Media and presented by Celso Drinks. I am Rafael, aka the Latin Babbler. My guest today is a content creator who has almost 500k combined followers on TikToks and Instagram. And I would like to welcome to the show the nostalgic Latino himself, Carlos Castillo. What's up, man?
Hey, this is where you cue like the little applause sound effect.
The plus, so. Yeah, we don't have that. We're on a budget, so we
can all get the... right. So hey, golf clap for me, I guess.
Just in case, there you go.
Don't worry, I'm used to it. I had high hopes.
Those are like Caucasian claps, though. That wasn't like a Latino type clap. You know, it was all moderated and all slow, like golf claps.
Right? I see me, ho. I see.
Yeah, I gotta get loud about it. Yeah. I got a question because you funny as hell. One of the reasons I asked for this interview is because I came across one of your reels. It's the one where you're sitting there in the back seat and they're playing Latino music and they're sitting there trying to catch it. And it was shared everywhere.
Blew up.
Yeah, that one was like. Like everybody related to that shit. That shit was crazy.
It's funny because it was funny because that really opened up a discussion within the comments, and the comments are pretty toxic, and the ones that are angry are not people of color.
Yeah, no, for sure. Because they're sitting there like, man, we were just trying to make you feel better.
And it's good. And it's not, you know, the intentions are well. I'm just letting you know what happened to me personally.
How you perceived it.
It's like, it's not like, oh, my God, how dare you? just for people that are kind of confused right now. And they're like, what are they talking about? Basically, it was a short skit of me in the back seat with my white friend. You know, as a kid, I was friends with Mexicans. I was lucky if I found another Central American person, but it was usually, you know, I'm Salvadorian, you know, a Salvadorian friend, a Guatemalan friend. And then just out of just school, I mean, obviously the school wasn't super
diverse.
I don't know. Yeah. I mean,
that's the worst.
Yeah, but even so, you know, you would occasionally have a friend, you know, that's white, you know, and you know, you become friends with them. And, you know, when you're little kids, you're not really, at least in my opinion, you're not really looking at the color of another person because you have these classes,
you play dodgeball
together or whatever.
Yeah.
You don't give a hoot of whatever is going on and what's good, you know. You're basically judging them on how hard they can hit you with that big bouncy red ball, you know, or how fast can you run better than this kid. So as a context, it was me, my white friend at the time, this was like maybe 1998, 97. So I was just starting middle school or something, and you're chilling in the back seat, and we're, you know, probably going to McDonald's or Chuck E. Cheese or something because, you know, that was a privilege, you know, when you had like a white friend.
High-class restaurants.
Yeah, as a white friend, it's not like you could go to Chuck E. Cheese whenever you wanted or anything. Yeah. It's just like, oh, damn, you know, my white friend Jason or Philip, you know, and it's like, oh, damn, let's take Carlos with us. Well, yeah. So, and what's playing in the background is Bailamos.
Yeah, Enrique Iglesias.
Let the rhythm get to you. Bailamos. Te quiero. I forgot the rest of it. Mi querido. Bailamos. It's, well, whatever.
Mi amor mio, man. You got to get it.
Mi amor mio. So basically, at that time, there was a huge Latin explosion of. It was Enrique Iglesias. Jennifer Lopez was blowing up with Waiting for Tonight. Mark Anthony was like, I need to know. And then Shakira was Shakira was just blowing up. Yeah. Whatever. And the band to be together. Yeah, so that's Shakira.
Ricky Martin, Living La Vida Loca.
So it was
some bangers, man.
Yeah, dude, it was a huge Latin explosion at that time, and Enrique Iglesias comes up, and because he is trying to make it a little true to his roots and culturally aware, he put some Spanish in there. Yeah. And so it's like, you know, the parents that are white, they're like, oh man, this is I love this song. Let me go ahead and put this on. It's like, yeah, Carlos, this one's for you. And I'm like, okay.
It's like, thanks.
You know, I'm like, I'm not going to hate. I like the song. I'm like, but I was confused at the time. I'm like, why? Thanks. And then they'll be like, amor mío. You know, the Spanish portion, and be like, oh, yeah. Wow, that's really catchy. It's very foreign, very awesome. It's like, what are they saying? And then they're like, I think he's saying, I love you, I want you, my love. And that was pretty much like, oh, okay. Yeah, so now I know the context of what he's actually saying. And then they start singing with it, you know. Bailamos, let the rhythm get you over, bailamos. And then it's like, all right, cool. You know, I mean, when you're that at that age, it's like, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't really translate in your head. Like, why would they dedicate this to me? You know, you know, and it's funny because that started a conversation, you know, with the black community that ended up chiming in. They're like, oh yeah, whenever Biggie would come on, they would end up, you know, bumping it for me for some reason. Right? Yeah. And then, you know, that's like, you know,
white people like were not right having now, that conversation, man. They were not.
Yeah, exactly. It's just, it's like, you know, just probably some Korean kid and has a white friend, and they're going out of Chuck E. Cheese or wherever they're going nowadays. They put some BTS on, and it's like, yeah, this is for you.
This is for you.
You know, a
we June. Selected I'm like, this soundtrack just for you.
Yeah, and it's like, why? Like, why? I'm like, you know, I was like, it's a banger. I like it. I'm not offended, but why would you refer this or associate me with this? Oh, yeah. I get it now. So it was a harmless, genuine, you know, we're just trying to be inclusive. And that's what's really sweet about that. But a lot of people kind of took it the wrong way as well.
They went off.
And they just made it about themselves. And they're like, no, this never happened to you.
I mean, we're in that generation, though. We're in that generation that's like, they just can't take nothing. Everything is just got to have context and have some type of plot behind it. Some type of sinister thing.
and that's I mean, it was done as a gesture of good faith type of deal, and I just wanted to just share that moment, and a lot of people happen to relate to it. You know, regardless, I mean, you didn't even have to be Latino or anything, you know, just like the other examples, if you were just a person of color, you've probably been in that situation where you're in the back seat and then just all of a sudden the volume goes up to 10, you know, to something, you know, that maybe you would feel a little bit more comfortable listening to at that age. But I'm glad it happened. You know, I got free Chuck E. Cheese that day.
That's crazy. Were you always this funny, like, growing up? Like, what was your growing up story, man? Like, I know you're here in L.A. Were you born and raised here?
Yeah, so I was born and raised here in L.A. I think I was an accident, according to my parents. But it was a happy accident, you know. But, and I grew up here in L.A. I always felt kind of like the outcast amongst all of my friends that I did hang out with within the area, because all of my friends were Mexican that I would always hang out with on the regular, you know. And I would always tell myself, I'm like, oh man, like, I wish I was Mexican too, so I knew what they were referring to. And because they would be like, oh yeah, Aztec power and all of this stuff. And
Aztec
I'm like,
power?
Yeah. And I was like, what do I have? You know, have you ever seen that?
Bro, you're Salvadorian. You got pupusa power.
Oh, I got pupusa power, dude. Pupusa power, and I have frijoles, queso, revueltas, y lo roco. And that's what I got for myself. And it's just, you know, and it was always a thing growing up where, because of the large Latino Hispanic culture at the time, you know, people would just automatically associate you as being Mexican.
As Mexican, yeah.
As Mexican. So it didn't even really, you know, regardless of, as long as your skin color was a slight shade of brown, all of a sudden it's like you're a Mexican, and then you're just kind of molded into that whole group there. And then I remember as a kid, I would get upset, like, I'm not Mexican. You know? And it's still like that to this day, where it's like, if you call a Salvadorian a Mexican, they get mad. Mexican,
yeah, well, not just that. You call Mexican something else, they get mad too.
Oh, yeah, dude. But,
they get mad as hell.
Yeah, and I think it's just that little speck of color spectrum within the skin is just, you know, that could trigger somebody. It's like you have like a paint chart from that Sherwin-Williams paint chart. You know, that they have at the airports, you know, to identify terrorists and and any people of color, and they just go down the list. Is it brown enough? No, okay, no, you know what? You're good, Carlos. You're good, Carlos. I'm like,
you're not on the threat list of that. Of that flight. Do you have siblings?
Yeah. I'm sorry, I was kind of going off on a tangent. Yeah, I have a sibling. I have an older brother. Thankfully my parents have retired. They moved back to El Salvador, and they're kind of living their best life, their best rancho life. And I've stuck around and I've been able to, I went to school. Yeah, I was born here, went to school, high school, graduated from Cal State Long Beach, in information systems. I'm utilizing that degree somewhat in my current job in corporate at this point. And I just happen to find the stuff that I'm doing right now as more of like a passion and a passionate hobby, if anything, just because I was always interested in film and I've always been interested in photography, and I've liked creating and molding stories. You know, when I was much younger and when I was in school and whatnot. And I tried to get into the YouTube thing, and I was like and subscribe. Every Tuesday, new video.
Every Tuesday, new video.
This was like 10 years ago, you know, and I remember how it was fun to be able to do all of that writing for all of these skits that I had. But it was so draining, and it burned me out, and I wasn't having fun anymore. And so I gave that up, and luckily there was, Vine came around, which I tried, but I felt that it was too short to get the punchline across because you only had 7 seconds, and I didn't make it there, but I tried. And then TikTok came around, and that gave me 15 seconds to get me my punchline across, and I was like, all right, cool, this will work. And my punchline got across, and people liked it. And I was like, yay! And I got really excited, and I was like, all right, cool. They liked this me aggressively waking up to Time Life Ultimate Collections with Celine Dion, Michael Bolton, Luther Vandross, and all of them folks. Let me make another aggressive wake up. And it just kept on snowballing from there and went on. And then as I started gaining a following for that, I think I ended up changing my name to The Nostalgic Latino, because I felt like there was a lot of nostalgia accounts, and there are, and they're really good. But the difference is that I always wanted to be able to spread the culture, the Latino Hispanic culture, to be able to differentiate myself and to show other folks that, you know, there are nostalgic things within our culture that are pretty freaking hilarious. And I like to be able to touch that, because I think that that's what makes me special, or at least stand out, you know, from the rest of the nostalgia crew, if whatnot. And And it just so happens that a few of them have managed to, you know, make a dent in the right direction, just like the Enrique Iglesias one. I think that's a perfect encapsulation of Latino nostalgia. And if I'm able to hit that mark, then I think that's the perfect type of content that I would love to create, like, all the time.
So I did notice that about the content, because a lot of Latino creators out there are doing everything that's like very stereotypical. So they're using a lot of like family type items, you know, like we interviewed Bossy and we interviewed Jay Torres. And a lot of them are using, you know, things that have happened in their family situation, family members, you know, things of that nature. The nostalgia, like some of the videos that you do, I can completely relate to. So for instance, like the ones of you downloading music on LimeWire in the 90s, and it like you get all excited because, you know, for people who didn't know, we didn't have fast connections. So when you downloaded a song on LimeWire, it took forever to get that song. And then when you finally get the song, it was all messed up, or it was some type of redid, or even worse, it wasn't even the song. It was something that was named the song.
Yeah.
You got something else, like some type of porn sound or something. Like it was, and you would try to play it, and it was like, ah, and you're like, what the fuck? So, like, is some of the, is this like some of the stuff that you experienced on your own when you were doing, when you decided to do this content?
It's funny because it's true, and it's like those particular experiences, it's like I want to try to make it relatable to as many people as possible within that millennial range and whatnot. And
well, the 90s would hit that.
Yeah,
the 90s is the perfect time for that.
The 90s and the 2000s are usually my jam. So So when it comes to that, and that's how it was. It would take at least about between 45 minutes to about an hour for you to download a full song. Yeah. Unless you were like at some awesome computer lab or some internet cafe that had these super fast connections, then
like a hotel room or something. Like,
they'll be able to download them in like 3 minutes. And but we didn't have that kind of privilege. We're all on AOL, Netscape. We had Prodigy, CompuServe. We had all these type of
the dial-ups. Shit that got interrupted when a phone call came in.
Yeah, when a phone call came in, or if mom picked up the phone, Ma!
Had to restart the shit, teléfono.
And then my mom then gets mad at me. Siempre estás en el teléfono. You're always on the phone.
It's like, I'm not on the phone. I'm downloading music, man.
I'm not downloading.
And in 1 hour, I'm going to have a song.
Yeah, and then you download that song. And then let's say I downloaded.
Bailamos. There you go.
No, right now, I actually uploaded one today. It's Miss Jackson, right? From Outkast.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I'm sorry, Miss Jackson. I am for real, right? So, but instead, I ended up getting. Lo siento, mi Jackson. Yo soy por verdad. No quería ser tu. You know, Spanish and then version. It's like, I'm like, what the hell? Why is this in Spanish? And why does it sound like not Outkast?
Yeah, right. Man. I mean, it sound like it would have been cool as shit if he did it in Spanish.
Yeah, though. Or it's all like garbled, or you're all of a sudden you're like, you know, I'm sorry, Miss Jackson, and then it goes another DJ, lethal, exclusive.
Ruining the fucking song, dude.
Yeah, just ruining the song. I did not have sexual relations with that woman. Please come and visit me at www.gobill.com. And you're like, Go what Bill. The hell? And it was just
always like that. It was crazy, though.
Yeah.
I mean, you have a lot of content that you can go through because the 90s were just filled.
Oh, yeah. It's just that's where I kind of have to. I have to individualize myself and compartmentalize myself that I'm not like every other nostalgic creator.
Yeah.
And I have to be very specific with those particular moments. And and sometimes they hit, sometimes they don't, but I'm having fun doing them. And that's really what's important.
Did you ever have a situation where you created one that you thought was just banging? Like you turn around.
you, hell yeah.
You were on your phone. You had written this shit up. And it was like, bro, this shit is going to hit. Everybody's going to relate to that thing. You put it up and like, it's not getting nothing. Like there are people you might as well just have like posted it with no hashtags at like 3 o'clock in the morning. Cause it was just, so have you ever had that one where you were it like, and how did you feel about it? Because be honest,
that happens a lot. That happens a lot more often than not. You know, I'll go full on production mode. You know, I'll have my ring light on and I'll have the lighting going. I'll make sure to put the wig on, you know, so I'm portraying my mom. You know, I'm making sure that I'm changing wardrobe. And so I'm getting my point across. I'm using different angles in order for me to make it look a little bit more cinematic and make the punchline a lot, you know, funnier. And I'm like, all right, cool. This one is it. This one's a banger. I really put a lot of effort into this one. You know, 100 likes. And then 100. All of a sudden, right? And then I end up going to Halloween Spirit and I just take a video of some clown animatronic that's just playing with themselves. And that ends up getting 460,000 likes out of nowhere. And I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah, like. What is it that your fans are into? You start questioning.
Yeah, dude, it's just it's weird stuff. It's like, I mean, don't get me wrong. Like the fans that do follow, or just the followers in general, they know what to expect of me. Yeah, and on occasion, I'll post some relatable content, just random, you know, some random stuff that is just that's just out there. It's as long as it's relatable, then it's fine. But yeah, I could just have a video that's only 6-7 seconds long, and that blows up, and then I have a you know, well-produced 45-second one, and it just completely flops. And it does suck. It feels really crappy, and you're like, damn, man, why didn't this...
It's like, damn.
Why didn't this hit, man?
Start questioning.
You know, and then it's like, all they're going to remember me for is the guy that was looking at the clown that was playing with himself rather than the guy that was at the bus stop listening to I'm Sorry, Senora Jackson. So... It happens, but you know what? That happens to everybody, unless you already have an established following. Like you were just talking about Bassi. Bassi, he has.
It's like five. Like, yeah, it's 5 million or something. Yeah, he's got 5 million. He has like 5 million.
He just barely followed me back the other day, and I was surprised. I was like, because I've been following him since the beginning. You know, he's a lot younger than I am, and but his content is relatable, especially a lot to the Hispanic community. He's awesome at it. And I did a video of me at the swap meet, and you hear all of these sounds that you would hear at the swap meet when you're a kid. And I had these poppers, you know, the little poppers that you would go, pah, you know, there were small little balls and go,
no, I remember that. I remember them.
Yeah. And, you know, you'd be chilling at the swap meet with your mom because your mom ended up making you go like at 6 a.m. That way she could find parking and beat all the crowds. And and you just walking there, you have no money to buy. So you're just chilling and you're eating a churrito or an elote or some chicharrones or something. And you're just bah, and you bought and you were using those because those only cost a dollar. And your mom wouldn't give you grief about it. And he saw that when. And he ended up recreating. He did his own twist on it, on his own version, and he credited me. And he actually followed me back. I was like, "Oh shit! Wow, dude! I finally, it's like, this is awesome." And then I sent him a message. I'm like, "Yeah, give me a little bit of validation, you know? Because I mean, I'm not looking at other creators just kind of based on their age or anything like that. It's just more or less about the quality of their content and just, you know, if they make me laugh, you know, they make me laugh and I love it. So when he, you know, somebody that is as influential as him to the Hispanic community, to kind of follow me back and then, you know, and I message him straight up and, you know, immediately I'm like, hey, Bassi, you know what? I appreciate you, following me. Just, you know, I've been watching your stuff for a while. I hope you're doing well. Keep it up. You're awesome. And yeah, and he messaged me back. I was like, hey, dude, thank you. I've been watching your stuff too. Thank you. And you're awesome too. And then just, it is what it is. We're not like amigos, carnales or anything, whatever.
No,
but it was
at least
it was straight acknowledgement of like, okay, cool. Homie saw me. Finally. And,
I mean, he's
I'm thankful for that.
When we had the interview, it's actually one of the clips that's on our Todo Wafi account. We were sitting there talking about, you know, me doing content creation. Like I was doing it for a little bit before we started doing the 30 days of Hispanic Heritage. And I had mentioned, I was like, it's really hard because like every idea that I have, like you guys are already like on top of it. It's almost impossible to catch up. Cause I mean, it's what they do for a living. Mm-hmm. So I had mentioned to him that one of my favorite reels that he had done was the one where his father is slapping the watermelon. And it's like a really funny. Okay. Yeah. So we got into a discussion about, you know, my mom, like, you know, or my grandmother, I think it was eating the grapes at the supermarket and how they can eat like a ton of them. I kid you not, he made it into a reel. That shit almost got a million views. I'm like, damn it, I should have been faster. But I'm like, I'm honored though, because it was like, it came out shortly after that. It was like really good. He took the guy. He was like, you got to share some of the ones that you have with you. I'm like, I'm not sharing shit. Like, I'm going to keep these to myself. You already got the grape one out of me.
There was one. It was funny because there was one that I did that blew up too, where, you know, you would go to a market and it was like a first person point of view. So I had my camera just kind of going like this, like if I'm walking.
Yeah.
And I go straight to the frijoles, to the beans. And then you just see my hand go. It just goes straight into the beans and just massage. And then I grab the scooper and I just start covering it up really quick.
Yeah,
and then
I'm like,
and then that resonated with so many people. And I was like, oh, wow, that's something that simple. It was able, you know, it made people laugh. And that was really cool, too.
Have you figured out the science to it? Like posting and, you know, the times. I know a lot of creators, they have to come up with, you know, what they figure is when the audience is, cause there's, for people who don't know, content creation isn't you just put up some videos whenever, and it, like there's a certain time depending on where your audience is, you know, what times they are online. There's a bunch of analytics that go along with that. Have you at least come close to figuring out when those?
A little bit. Like for my demographic, what I typically do is I know that I'm in LA, so I picture it as the people that would probably be watching my stuff are either going to be watching it on their lunch break or they're going to be watching it right after they get out of work.
So not before? I always like you're not a morning guy.
Nah, I don't think so. No, hell no, I wouldn't even wake up in the morning early enough for me to even work on one.
I mean, there's people going to work.
I'll sleep in. But, yeah, there's people to go to work, but I mean, I don't think that they're going to be looking at that first thing in the morning. Maybe. Yeah. You're right, but that's true. But I usually try to pace it so that way it's kind of lines up with that. So I usually, like here on my time, I try to post it either between 3 p.m. Here, or I post it at 6 p.m. Because at that point, and I feel that that's the sweet spot, because 3 p.m., a lot of parents are picking up their kids at that time.
Yeah.
And sometimes the kids and the teens are also watching your stuff too. And that's when they get out. 3 hours on the East Coast, people are getting out of work as well.
So that's 6 o'clock. So that's six o'clock.
That part. Yeah. Or you can post it at 6 PM, local time. And it ends up over there at 9 PM that time. And 9 so p.m. at that time,
they're cooling down.
Yeah, they're cooling down, and they're probably just going to be chilling in bed, and they're looking at their phone.
Yeah.
Because it's already past dinner.
That makes sense.
And I think that's probably the sweet spot. If you have a lot of followers, then it doesn't really matter anymore. You just, at that point, you've already amassed enough of a ratio of that demographic that regardless of whatever time that you're going to post,
they're going to push
it. It's going to be a hit. Yeah. I think it's always going to be a hit, but maybe if I post it like at 3 a.m. and I have, you know, a million followers or 3 million followers or two or whatever, it's probably going to get 10,000 likes or whatever. It hits the 10K mark. But if I maybe post it at a time that I maybe suggested, it'll probably get more, maybe 50,000 likes or something.
It'll have enough push because of the amount of followers, but not sufficient enough to carry the entire team.
Then, you know, it's like what you said. So, you know, some of these that's literally their job now. Like they're doing it full time.
Yeah.
So they're posting video per video. You know,
yeah, sometimes like these guys
more
are
than
doing
two, three times a day.
Bossy and them, they're doing brand deals. They're all over
the place. Oh, yeah, dude. They already have a clique going. They have their own little community group that's made up of, I think, seven creators.
Oh, yeah, compa.
Seven or eight. Yeah, compa. Yeah. There you go. And, yeah, and what's great is that they have a system where they're able to rely on each other for content. And that's, I don't think there's a way for that to fail in that case. And I'm really happy that he managed to get that going. And I think he's even doing like a tour or something.
Yeah, so. They're doing a tour.
Damn, so he's doing a tour. He's going to need like a bando or something.
Yeah, they're doing a tour.
Bossy, if you're watching this, I don't know if you're watching this, but
it's not, like it's a not. You got to talk to his manager, Gilberto Sosa.
Oh, my gatos.
Yeah. Sosa is the Sosa is part of the Sosa projects that they have over there. So it's a really good idea to have kind of like a content creator tour. Mm-hmm. Do you ever find yourself where you have like creator's block? Like
that hell yeah. There's times that I think one thing I've learned is and this is just me. And that's just because I don't have this. I don't see this potentially being like a full-time gig. And I'm okay with that because I don't have that time to be able to dedicate that much, especially at where I'm at. And I'm trying to be humble about it for the most part, because on TikTok, I'm at 340K, I think.
Yeah. 340K. You're about a 120. What is it? No more.
And then I'm at
138, I think is what it is.
138 or one. Yeah. Somewhere on IG. But I just can't see myself doing it. Like my biggest concern is just like I did with the YouTube thing, is that I'll burn myself out and I'm just not going to enjoy it. Like as soon as something starts feeling like a chore or like a job, then I don't really feel it anymore. And that was my issue when I tried to do YouTube a long time ago. And I like being able to post the stuff, you know, whenever I feel like it, essentially. And if there's times when I have, you know, writer's block or creator's block or whatnot, I just don't post anything, and I just try not to overthink.
Yeah,
because before I used to overthink a lot, because I was very concentrated on, oh, I need to get these followers, I need to keep the ball moving, and I need all of this stuff. And and that's a struggle that you have to kind of deal with mentally, because sometimes it could get to you and you're like, oh my god, if I don't post anything in a day, then I'm going to lose followers and they're going to lose interest in me and all of this stuff. And you just have to kind of keep the mindset of those people that like you will continue to like you. And you just kind of go with it at that point. You know, every once in a while, I'll get like a comment that'll be like, dude, you deserve more likes. Dude, this, you know, this deserves to go viral and all of this stuff. I'm like, dude, it would be great if it did. However, I'm glad that you guys still found it funny and it wasn't, you know, like it may have flopped, but as long as some of you guys found it funny, I mean, that's good enough for me. That's the, you know, but ideally if I wanted to make this a full-time thing, I guess it would be nice, but it would have to be like, you know, I'm much older, dude. I'm not like Team Compa where I could, you know,
bunch of 20-year-olds and stuff.
Yeah, you know, they got their whole life in front of them. They don't got to get married. They don't got to have any kids or anything worry about all of these, you know, paying the car insurance and all that. They're in their prime. And like, and I'm all for it. But, you know, me, I'm older. I'm already in my late 30s. So at that point, I'm like, you know, I learned to kind of regulate myself a little bit. And, yeah. And I just don't want to oversaturate my socials with too much of me, because I think a part of me in the back of my head is like, man, I really hope that people don't get annoyed of me, of just seeing me all the time on their Instagram
feed. That's what has you the followers that you have. So I mean, at one point or another, they're actually, I mean, one of the reasons they follow you, and I've noticed that about just anything. So we have like a bunch of accounts that are part of a network, and I've noticed that they follow them for specific reasons. So you wouldn't have the followers that you didn't have. It's because they weren't, you know, if they weren't going after the content that they were specifically looking for when they followed you to begin with. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And I'm happy and I'm blessed that people are are willing to, you know, to laugh. I'm super blessed whenever somebody sends a message to me and they'll say, hey, look, dude, you're hilarious. It's really nice when I get a message with like, you know what, I'm like sad quite often. However, whenever I see your videos, they always cheer me up and all of that stuff. And those are the really important messages in that case, because everybody's always, you know, hey, dude, this is great. And they'll share reels with me, share memories and whatnot. And I'm always thankful that they take the time to send a kind message. And I always do my best to respond to every single message, provided that it's not a weird message from a weirdo, because I get plenty of those too.
Yeah, I get those.
You know, and yeah,
like, that's hi, my name is Jane.
Yeah, it's just exactly, and it's really cool because you know a lot of those people that I will reply to, they'll be like, "Oh my god, I can't you replied believe you replied
back." Yeah, I can't believe you replied
holy
back.
Holy shit! And then I'm like, well, "Hey man, I'm a normal guy on the other side, just
it's
like
because,
you are."
It's because on the other end, like I'm pretty sure they're trying to reach out to some of the content creators, but some of those content creators they have managers and so forth, and so they only mm-hmm. reply based on, like they have their accounts set up, to block out a lot of the items because they're so insaturated by responses.
Oh,
there's no way for them to be able to get to them. I mean, I'm surprised that you're able to, you know, respond to a lot of the ones that you do, considering the fact that you probably have a lot of responses on your posts.
Yeah, I mean, I do. I mean, I can't reply to every single comment on my videos, but I can reply to practically almost every message that's sent out to me. I kind of have like an OCD for that. if I see like a little number one or a number two message, I'm like, oh my god, what is it? I need to handle this out.
I gotta figure it out.
The same thing with my emails. And it's like I can't have a little number right next to it. I need to make sure it's red. It's taken care of and it's deleted.
It's
and
done.
I gotta make sure I unsubscribe from that one fashion place where I told them that I didn't want to sign up in the first place. So, you know?
Right. So I have a question because I know we're coming to the end leg of the Hispanic Heritage Month.
Okay.
You being Salvadoreño, like what has it meant for you to be, you know, representing, especially with the following that you have, what is it like for you to be representing your country like that?
It's fantastic. I love it. I think one thing that I really enjoy about being Salvadorian within this social circle of media is that I'm part of a few of a bigger kind of a pond, so to speak. And I feel that makes me unique. And it makes me a lot more, more real, so to speak.
Yeah.
Because I'm not like every other Latino creator that would just be, you know, whether they're Mexican or Mexican American or Guatemalan or whatever, or, you know, there's a lot of Latino creators from other parts of the world that you just never really hear about. And so when you see somebody from like Belize or even, you know, Dominican Republic or whatever. I mean, obviously Puerto Rico's all Bad Bunny.
Yeah.
So obviously he already has that down.
Anytime we want to increase engagement on the account, we just post Bad Bunny content.
Yeah. Like, so, to have like my little speck of this big old tapestry of Latino creators and Hispanic heritage, it means a lot because I'm part of a bigger picture.
Yeah.
And I would hope that I stick out like a sore thumb for the right reasons. And that's what makes me really proud about being a Salvadorian. Because I hope to stick out like a sore thumb for the right reasons.
I don't know if you want to end it with that line.
What do you mean? I don't
he's
know
like,
if anything.
He's like, I hope I could stick out like a sore thumb for all.
Yeah,
the right
well,
reasons.
I mean, it's like I'm like the pimple on your butt that you always scratch, and you can't reach it, but you know it's there
because you feel it.
Yeah.
You feel it.
Yeah, no, but on the real, yeah, it's just it's we're all a beautiful tapestry of multicultural colors. And I feel that I am a very bright speck on that tapestry.
Very cool.
And I hope to not only be a bright speck, but I'm hoping that that speck is capable of expanding with other creators that are willing to represent themselves and their countries as well, as just normal, great people that are funny, that have artistic talent, that are funny, that know how to play a certain instrument, that are really good at art, somebody that's able to do whatever they want, essentially.
Yeah.
And they're able to provide anything that spreads along the culture, then I'm all for it. And I'm hoping that I'm able to spread the culture and in that aspect as well. And I'm doing amazing, man,
because like a lot of the stuff, it's kind of cool because people don't get, at least I see that some people don't get that the way you're doing a twist on it from like a Latino's point of view on some of these, and some of them are just general content that's pretty much relatable to anybody. You don't have to be Latino. You don't have to be white. You don't have to be black. Like the circumstance is a circumstance regardless of where you are and what you're doing at that moment. So amazing answer. I really love that. There are a lot of more, Salvadoreños that are now starting to get on some of these platforms. So it's really cool to see at least those voices magnified through these processes where we wouldn't have had that, before because of the limitations.
Yeah. Yeah. And, obviously our communities aren't necessarily, not to say that they're not important or anything, but obviously they don't saturate just like any other types of folks or anything like that. So it's just really good. It's just really good to be able to kind of have our hand in it, just by a little bit, and as long as people are able to see that we're kind of reaching out, then I think that we've did a pretty good impact in that case.
Cool. All right, we're gonna do fast questions.
Ooh, this is like we'll see. Lightning round.
Yeah, like a lightning round. I'll ask you as many questions lightning. As we possibly can, and you answer them and give us your best answer for it. You ready?
Okay, lightning round is now beginning with the Lightning Babbler.
And now I'm gonna have to create a whole ass intro for that.
Aw, bro, are you gonna cut this out? Why did I even waste my time? Man,
All right, is a hot dog a sandwich?
It is a sandwich.
It is a sandwich.
It's delicious. Costco still has it at $1.50.
Oh, those are amazing. The long ones?
That is proof that some things are still good in this world.
Yeah, the hot dog sandwich.
I have $1.50 at Costco, baby. Let's go.
What would be the worst buy one, get one free sale of all time?
Oh my gosh. That's hard.
I knew I was going to stumble you on that one. It's question number hard, two.
That's hard. Buy one, get one free.
What's the worst one?
Buy one taco de lengua and you get a second one for free. I hate lengua tacos.
You hate lengua tacos? Oh, man, you want food. Oh, that's crazy. All right, what is your favorite smell?
Can I share two of them?
Yeah, go ahead.
Cinnabon.
Oh, that's actually good. Yeah.
Okay. And my nostalgic smell is the smell of the fountain at a mall.
I'm not gonna ask.
What the hell? What's wrong? Why you even left? It's a nice smell. It's just like.
Oh, wait, hold on. Okay, not a water fountain. You're talking about, like, the fountain in the center of the mall.
Nah, man, I'm not talking about, like, you reach in and you drink your water out of a water fountain, dude. Come on. I'm talking about a water fountain where you throw in the coins, dude.
Okay. That makes sense.
I was thinking
water fountain. I was like, bro, that's crazy. That's some nasty shit. Vos.
¿Qué te pasa?
All right, are you a texter or a caller?
Oh, I'm a texter, ASAP. And I've been texting since AOL 3.0, baby. Chat Damn. Rooms. Holla at Damn. Your boy.
People don't know that. They have absolutely no idea what you're talking about.
They
have to go and look at the Smithsonian to find out what the hell we're talking about over here.
You know what? At the Smithsonian, they have the the Apple computer, the transparent ones, ones with the really cool colors.
I remember that shit. The IMAX.
Those are part of the Smithsonian, actually.
Those are cool as hell, man.
They're cool. Anything
people don't know
back in the day were dope.
You could see what you weren't able to upgrade.
Yeah, exactly. If I knew that she had that neon green beeper back in the day.
Oh. People don't. Man, we are just giving away our age in this one. Oh, so, dude. All right.
Hey, man.
Are you scared about flying on a plane?
Sometimes. And the only reason I'm scared of flying in a plane is because I'm afraid I won't fit in the seat.
Oh, my God. Me as La Bamba.
Oh, that is really bad. Yeah, that's it. See, I think everybody has a cultural, spiritual connection to that movie. I could be anywhere, in any place. You just put on Sleepwalk.
Yeah.
And then right at the very end, somebody's around you is going to be like, what are they going to yell? What are they going to yell, Rafa?
Wait, which one? I mean, Richie Valens or what? I don't know what they're going to do.
Richie!
Oh, okay, I was going to say.
Come on, bro. What's wrong with you?
I grew up on the East Coast. Richie Valens was not our hero. Like,
you don't have to grow up East LA.
Nah, we got Tito Puente over there. Like, that's what we were turning around and, like, celebrating on that side. Celia Cruz, all those New Yorkers, man.
Damn, man. La vida es un carnaval.
There you go. See? I mean, you don't get
the urge to yell Richie at the end of Sleepwalk.
No, I don't. But the movie itself made me sad as shit. So I mean, I'll take that one though.
Maybe it is like a West Coast thing. What the
it's
heck?
It's a West Coast thing, man.
You've opened up my mind here a little bit, and I'm actually quite concerned and disturbed at the same time.
It's both. Yeah, I think
disappointed.
And disappointed because ain't nobody else yelling Richie from the East Coast. We're just not.
Damn, what the hell?
But you guys can take that one. All right, so pineapple on a pizza, yes or no?
I have a very, very, very strong hell no. Hell no to the no, no, no. Hell to the no. Yeah, that's disgusting.
Yeah, we're not going to put pineapple.
Because, I mean, pizza. I don't know why they put pineapple on pizza. I don't think it personally belongs there. I don't know how it meshes well with the marinara sauce that's there and the fact that it's, you know, being coupled up with ham.
Yeah, like a sweet and sour type thing is what they kind of, I just. No.
It's just really
exactly.
Bad.
Yeah. All right, so if you had a superpower, what would it be?
Probably invisibility. Don't ask.
Don't ask? Okay. So we won't. That's fine. He just wants to be invisible.
I just want to be invisible.
Keep it that way.
I'm kidding. I already am invisible. No. Why you laugh, dude? What's wrong with you?
Because you sound like one of those six-year-old kids. I already am invisible. Like, yeah, like if the world's ignoring
you. Bro.
Motherfucker's got almost 500K followers. He's talking about, I already am invisible. Yeah, you're the least invisible guy in this conversation right now.
Damn, figuratively, Anna.
I wasn't even going there.
And literally.
Followers.
How dare you, sir?
Now I become offensive in this conversation. Geez.
You know what? Probably. I would actually like, even though I'm thinking about how scared I am of heights.
Fly.
I wouldn't want to fly. Maybe have the ability to be able to like teleport wherever I want.
That would be cool. That you're the first person who answered that.
Yeah, I would want
like
teleportation.
Yeah, just be able to bounce somewhere, like go to
Greece.
Hell
yeah!
Just be there in a matter of seconds.
Yeah, can't kidnap me. I could. No, Amber.
It's a lot faster than flying, so I would definitely.
Hell yeah, man.
All right, so iced coffee or hot coffee?
Iced coffee.
Iced coffee, all right.
So iced coffee just because I just really like cold items.
Yeah, same. I
if
can't
I'm
have
drinking
my water
anything,
warm.
If I'm drinking anything hot, it's usually hot chocolate.
Yeah, that's the only one. So we're good on that. There we go.
Or
favorite
even
musician
too. Geez, there's so many.
Yeah, but you gotta have one.
Michael Jackson.
Michael? That's a good pick.
MJ. MJ is probably defining a lot of my childhood in the 90s. And
all right, what is your all-time celebrity crush?
You know what? What's really cool? Nah, I'll give it away. I mean, she's still a celebrity in my heart. But the Pink Ranger, Amy Jo Johnson. Why you laugh, dude? You've been clowning me this entire podcast, homie.
I wasn't expecting a Power Ranger.
Bro. Okay, so check this out. So Comic-Con LA is happening in December. I got my, I ordered my photo opportunity to meet her for the first time.
Wait, when is Comic-Con?
It's in December. Here in LA, at least.
Yeah, but when? Like, what day?
On a Saturday? Man, December 8th or something? Why you gotta be
so complicated? There you go. December 8th.
Bro, it's not like I have these dates in my mind, man. I said teleportation, not telepathy.
Yeah, but that's not telepathy. You have a tickets to this thing, don't you?
Okay, oh my God.
Bro, you are...
And you know what's the worst? What's the worst part of this, dude? Is that you're not gonna edit any portion of you clowning on me on this podcast? Interview.
Yeah.
Oh my God, those.
It's okay though.
Anyways, I mean, you know. Yeah, she's my crush right now. So
yeah, I'm a big Selma Hayek guy. So So the problem with me is like I said in the STEM Tech panel that I was just in earlier. Is I would never be able to like interview her without getting all like weirded out.
Is that what you call it nowadays, Rafael? Just call it weirded out? I think it's called something else, bro.
I would be in the interview like this. And she would be like, "Are you okay?" And I'm like, welcome to the show. I appreciate you coming. Do you want anything?" Like
she should be like, "Well, I appreciate you coming."
Yeah, she'll be responding back. She's like, she's going to like console me. She's going to be like, no, Rafael, it's okay. And so I'm like, you shouldn't have done that. You touched me. Dude. I'm done. I'm over.
So and it's like, Banderas comes out of nowhere. "Hey, what are you doing?"
Yeah, right? Oh my God. You know, that would be funny though. I mean, he's probably the only Latino representation we had and he was from Spain.
Yeah, dude. Damn, Selma Hayek. First time I saw her was From Dusk Till Dawn.
Yeah.
That was the first time I saw her. She was
Desperado for me.
That was her first I think it's their big starring role. And then she ended up having to do that dumb movie called Fools Rush In with Matthew Perry. Oh my God.
I mean, but hey, you know she's got a star now.
So oh yeah, she does.
She finally got that star. 20 years later. Well, you know, we couldn't wait long enough.
A good choice. That's a good choice. Salma Hayek is really good.
I'm sticking by it. I mean, she's going to listen to all of my interviews on this media company, and she is going to decline every single one of my interviews because of the fact that she knows. Ella sabe. So the manager is going to be like, "Did you?" And I'm like, yeah. Quite a few interviews we've mentioned her. So, all right. So if people wanted to find you and follow you and look at your content, where would they go?
They can follow me either on TikTok at The Nostalgic Latino or Instagram at The Nostalgic Latino. Yeah, I've made it easy for everybody.
Yeah. See, he's like me. I just go the Latin babbler.
You try your best to keep it symmetrical so that way it's not like...
It's sometimes not easy. They turn around and
somebody
will take the account just to hold it hostage because they thought of an idea 5 years ago and never used it.
Exactly. I'm like, the Latin babbler. Yeah, I can't wait to take this one.
Not me.
What an idiot whoever tries to take this from me.
I mean, this is the one that was available, so I'm good with it.
Yeah, that's cool, man.
This was a really good conversation. I really enjoyed having this discussion with you, man.
But why does it have to end?
Because we have a 1-hour time frame for this shit. If not, it's going to take me 5 years.
You're editing this podcast. I'm saying podcast most of the time, but
that's because it's the Latin Babbler show. So
it's the Latin Babbler show. And then by the time that you edit the thing, it's only going to say like the whole interview is like 42 minutes. I'm like, come on, bro. Where's the full hour? I got 5 minutes
to try to do an outro and the music. So you got to give me that.
Are you going to put any like really cool music like as an outro?
Yeah. Like, I mean, the Latin Babbler,
Oh wait,
we have our own theme song that was given to us by Ricardo Campos from Costa Rica.
¿Qué?
Yeah, you didn't know because you didn't do any research on us before you came into this interview.
Nah, because I was held hostage to do this.
Yeah, you were. And we tried so many times to do this. We must have tried like 6 times to get this interview going. So,
oh, geez.
I mean, we finally got it. So, yeah, guys, if you're watching this interview, make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel or Facebook, wherever you're watching it. If you're listening to it on all your podcast channels, make sure to subscribe. There, we are literally everywhere. Go to www.todowafi.com. Follow us on all social media platforms at Todowafi. And be sure to follow this amazing gentleman right here, the Nostalgic Latino. I am Rafael. That is Carlos. And we are out. Desde Nicaragua hasta Costa Rica, con esta canción todo mundo se identifica. Llamen a los chilenos y a los cubanos, llamen a Puerto Rico y a los mexicanos, que ya se armó la rumba. Desde Panamá hasta Ecuador, vámonos a Perú y luego hasta Salvador. Que se escuche en Brasil y Argentina. Yo quiero un grito de mi gente latina y levantaré mi bandera, estando en mi país o estando allá afuera. Porque para mí mira noches en fronteras.